KPBS On Demand is supported by UC San Diego's Art Power, inviting you to experience the science of story. 6 days of programming celebrating how and why we tell the stories that move us from July 23rd through the 28th at UC San Diego. Events include Clarion Writers Masterclass, A Tale of Two Sulus, an evening with George Takei and John Cho, Star Trek in concert with the San Diego Symphony, and more. For information, visit artpower.ucsd.edu.
Good morning, I'm Debbie Cruz. It's Friday, May 3rd. We have details on the county's $8.5 billion spending plan. More on that next, but first, let's do the headlines. Oceanside City officials have declared a local emergency following the fire that damaged its pier. A local emergency declaration helps speed up the process of making repairs. Some county legislators also sent a letter to Governor Newsom, asking his administration to provide emergency funding to repair the pier. The fire gutted a vacant restaurant and a snack bar at the end of the pier. It is still unclear what started the fire, but arson has been ruled out. The County Board of Supervisors is interviewing candidates for a new chief administrative officer today. The new chief administrative officer will replace Helen Robbins Meyer, who retired in January. Since then, Sarah Agassi has been serving as the interim chief administrative officer. The role includes implementing the board's vision and policies and directing the county's daily operations. After today's interviews, a panel of 10 community members will interview the candidates and provide feedback to the board. Then the board will conduct final interviews on May 22nd. This weekend is going to be cooler than what we've been experiencing this week. The National Weather Service says there's a slight chance of rain at times tomorrow and Sunday. It will be windy, too, with gusts reaching up to 40 miles per hour. But today's weather is going to start off cloudy, then gradually become sunny. Today's temperatures in the inland areas are expected to be in the low 70s by the coast and in the mountains. Temps will be in the low 60s, and in the deserts, it'll be in the low 90s. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
KPBS On Demand is supported by UC San Diego's Art Power, inviting you to experience the science of story. 6 days of programming celebrating how and why we tell the stories that move us from July 23rd through the 28th at UC San Diego. Events include Clarion Writers Masterclass, A Tale of Two Sulus, an evening with George Takei and John Cho, Star Trek in concert with the San Diego Symphony, and more. For information, visit artpower.ucsd.edu.
The county's budget for the next fiscal year will be bigger than this year's spending plan. Reporter John Carroll says county staff released the proposal yesterday.
The county's spending plan for fiscal year 2024-25 is massive, nearly $8.5 billion. That's a nearly $318 million increase over this year's budget. It includes money to hire about 72 new people. Some of the big-ticket items include a little more than $1 billion in total investments in behavioral health services, including multi-million dollar increases in substance use residential and outpatient services. Nearly $500 million for the Public Works and Roads Department. Nearly $2.5 billion for public safety, that is, law enforcement and fire protection. County Financial and Planning Director Damian Quinn says there are no cuts in the budget, just what he calls an alignment.
Just to, you know, best utilize our resources that are there, but we're really focusing on kind of like the service delivery and what the community needs out there.
There will be a number of opportunities for the public to weigh in between now and when the Board of Supervisors takes their vote on June 25th. You can find that information at sandiegocounty.gov. John Carroll, KPBS News.
UCSD students continue their encampment in support of Palestinians caught in the Israel-Hamas war. Education reporter MG Perez says there is a commitment to keep the peace.
Hundreds of students with the UCS Divest Coalition continue to rotate protesters through their encampment along Library Way on the UC San Diego campus. They are demanding a ceasefire in the Israel-Hamas war, and they want the university to divest from its Israeli financial interests. This encampment includes supporters of many faiths and cultures and several of their faculty members. Curtis Mades is a professor of ethnic studies who supports his students in between teaching his classes.
Free speech protests, anti-war protests, protests for ethnic studies, all of those things seem to me to be have been on the right side of history and have been good, even though they were opposed by administrations.
The UCSD administration has campus police on site to maintain safety and the continuity of campus operations. MG Perez, KPBS News.
Safe Streets advocates are asking the San Diego City Council to fund safety improvements to the city's 15 deadliest intersections. Metro reporter Angie Bowen says it's one of several requests to modify Mayor Todd Gloria's proposed budget.
Katie Gordon spoke to the City Council on Wednesday. Her husband, Jason, was struck and killed by a hit-and-run driver in 2020. She says the intersection where it happened, Market and 19th in Sherman Heights, is just as dangerous today as it was on the night he was killed.
At the time, I had two twin girls that were a year old. I'm here to advocate for safer streets for them and others in our community.
Somehow, the city has to close a budget deficit of about $172 million. Later Wednesday, activists packed the council chambers to protest Mayor Gloria's proposal to defund programs that support vulnerable communities on the front lines of the climate crisis. Genevieve Jones-Wright is executive director of Community Advocates for Just and Moral Governance.
Our cities, Black, brown, and low-income communities have suffered from chronic underfunding. A financial deficit does not diminish the need for equity. It intensifies it.
The City Council will continue hearings on the mayor's proposed budget through May 7th. The mayor will propose a revised budget later this month, followed by a final council vote in June. Andrew Bowen, KPBS News.
As peak fire season approaches, emergency service agencies are coming together to prepare. Reporter Melissa May takes us to Chula Vista to show us how simulations anticipate how wildfires could impact actual neighborhoods.
Over 750 firefighters from across the region, along with the San Diego Sheriff's Department and SDG&E, are participating in 3 days of wildland preparedness exercises. Actual fire is not used in all of the exercises, but Chula Vista Fire Captain Eric Martinez says real fire is used during what he calls tabletop sessions.
Be able to see the potential of what the fire could do and how directly our actions could impact positively or the mistakes could negatively impact it. And it's good to learn it in a very controlled, sterile environment so we don't make those mistakes out there in the field.
The models simulate an actual Chula Vista neighborhood that is at high risk for fire, including topography, power lines, and roads. Melissa May, KPBS News.
Pasok Hop Performing Arts Company in National City retains Filipino traditions through music and dance. Gloria Penner Fellow Elena Farrell says, the organization is hosting a workshop today to share ancestral storytelling and weaving traditions with the community.
The laughter of 2-year-old Ijanale Padrigan, the clack of Evelinda Otong's loom, and the jingle of beads from Mirnapula's traditional attire represent 3 generations of the Filipino diaspora. Pula, who goes by Nanay or Mother Mirna, is visiting National City to share her tabuli stories with Filipino Americans.
These are the people who are capable of helping us to continue practicing our culture.
Otong says weaving is passed through generations.
Great-grandmother, it was started with her. So from my grandmother to my mother and me.
Ijanale's father, Pasakat Assistant Artistic Director Matthew Padrigan, says he first met these artists on a trip to the Philippines to explore his cultural identity.
When this opportunity came to me, I thought about the process that it took for me to meet these artists. It's not easy. If you don't have an inside man to connect you to the groups, then it's almost impossible.
To learn more about weaving stories and dreams, visit pasaka.org. Elaine Alfaro, KPBS News.
The Weaving Stories and Dreams workshop is happening tonight at 6 p.m. To learn more about it, visit pasaka.org. An original play about family, food, and love is making its in-person debut at the Old Globe this weekend. Reporter Jacob Ayer says Stir is a story that takes us back to the universal experience of the pandemic and the challenges and beauty that came from it.
The smells, sounds, and setting of Stir make it stand out among other plays.
I think what's exciting is for the kind of four-dimensional experience where we're going to be cooking and you're going to smell the onions and the garlic and the peppers, and the audiences, I hope, will feel a little hungry by the end of the show.
Written and principally acted by Melinda Lopez and Joel Perez, the play was a product of COVID-related shutdowns and originally premiered in 2021 on the East Coast.
We created a fictional universe where Henry and Mariana are cooking over Zoom to honor their mother. And Mariana, who has the recipe, and Henry, who wants to learn the recipe. And we made a Zoom play, and then we thought, this could work in person.
Now, Stir gets a proper stage for its world premiere in the Cheryl and Harvey White Theater at the Old Globe, says director Marcella Lorca.
The play is really about family, and it's about family grappling with the loss of a loved one.
The play focuses on two siblings, Henry and Mariana, who are separated by distance and circumstance, but meet to share their late mother's favorite black bean recipe as her ashes await a final resting place.
Over the course of us cooking together live, you realize why Henry actually concocted this plan to do something a little impulsive.
Lopez says the play emphasizes a type of ritual that keeps people grounded, together, and makes our lives sacred.
We all know what it was like to experience family at a distance over Zoom when we couldn't get in the room. And the play tries to navigate that, like, separation and longing for connection.
The play, set during the pandemic, recreates a sense of distance in a unique stage setup that features a real working kitchen.
We have a kitchen that has two counters, and these counters can rotate and move. So we create the illusion that this brother and sister are in separate spaces cooking, but they can also fluidly sort of invade each other's space, as you will.
Perez says much of the plot is drawn from their experiences with mourning during the pandemic and his own grandmother's passing.
She was the kind of cook who never followed a recipe. She just sort of was super intuitive, but always tasted the same. So there's always this, like, you know, we've lost that and it'll never come back. And there's something so sad, but also so special about how food can make us feel and brings you right back to a memory.
The mother's bean recipe starts as a simple project, but it leads to a surprising connection as the siblings reminisce and reveal secrets of their own.
Get a wooden spoon or a potato masher, whatever you have, and mash it.
While the play deals with the loss, it's still a comedy that's meant to be funny and moving.
It's that closeness between the siblings and the kind of language that they use that where they can laugh also at things that are poignant and things that are hard. It's a very intimate play, so I think that allows for a lot of humor to live.
Stir also focuses on Latino identity in America in roles that defy stereotypes. Yet its message is universal for people of all cultures, breaking bread with loved ones after a long time apart.
Sure, you're not Cuban, but I'm sure there's some sort of food that you remember fondly as a child that your parent or your grandparent or your loved one used to make.
Lorca hopes its message impacts the audience beyond the set.
Need to reflect on their own family and their own loved ones and what's important in life, which is to share love and be kind to one another and be able to communicate honestly with each other.
As for the food, it's probably just for show. but the recipe is in the program for people who want to try and cook the beans themselves. Bah! Bah! Performances for the 4-week play run May 4th through 26th. For those interested in family, food, and healing, more information is available at oldglobe.org. Jacob Ayer, KPBS News.
Also this weekend is the Chicana Music Festival. It begins at noon on Sunday at the Soap Factory Event Center in Logan Heights. Organizers say they hope the festival will uplift, inspire, and unite all generations through music and art. Kids 12 and under are free. For more information, go to ChicanoMusicFest.com. That's it for the podcast today. This podcast is produced by Emmalyn Mohebi and edited by Brooke Ruth. A shout out to my girl Emmalyn for hosting the podcast on Monday. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. Join us again on Monday to start the week together with the day's top stories. I'm Debbie Cruz. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.
KPBS On Demand is supported by UC San Diego's Art Power, inviting you to experience the science of story. 6 days of programming celebrating how and why we tell the stories that move us from July 23rd through the 28th at UC San Diego. Events include Clarion Writers Masterclass, A Tale of Two Sulus, An Evening with George Takei and John Cho, Star Trek in Concert with the San Diego Symphony, and more. For information, visit artpower.ucsd.edu.